Chapter 26. London, August 1930. Alice stirs as though the pressure of his gaze has woken her. She shivers and blinks in confusion before she comes to an awareness of where she is. Her silver eyes are huge in her face, and as she stares up at him, she looks strange and fey, rather wild. Then recognition dawns, and she relaxes back into her seat. Alice, are you all right?
Tom,
she gives a tired smile. I'd almost given up waiting. How embarrassing to fall asleep.
You look exhausted.
I haven't felt like sleeping much.
What are you doing here, Alice? Where?
Tom is about to ask about the child, but something stops him. Looking at her, it is hard to believe that a mere few weeks ago she had been carrying a baby inside her. She is thinner than ever. She looks barely old enough to bear children. Her skin has a yellowish tint to it, and her hair is lank, clinging to her skull. He sits down next to her and takes her hand. Her fingers are cold, no doubt from several hours of waiting in the cooling evening air.
You're freezing. I think we should go inside.
He tries to persuade Alice to come home with him, but she is adamant that she doesn't want to cause any fuss. In the end, lost for inspiration, he ends up taking her to the nearest pub, where the atmosphere is thick with pipe smoke and stale beer, and the men stare at them curiously over their evening pints. Tom isn't even sure that Alice, as a woman, is allowed to be in here. He hurries her to a table in the furthest corner, as far removed from the crowd at the bar as it is possible to be. She doesn't seem to be aware of her surroundings, or of how incongruous she looks in her well-cut travelling clothes. She takes a tin of cigarettes from her bag and slides two out, offering him one. He reflects that he wasn't even aware before that she smoked. How is it that he didn't know? He accepts one, and she lights them with fingers that betray her agitation with a slight tremble.
I've left, she says.
Oh,
he feels the quickening of excitement and panic inside him. What is it that she is telling him? What does she need of him? His head spins with the possibilities, and he speaks before he has time to think better of it.
And the baby?
Alice's expression shudders. She gives the tiniest, almost imperceptible, shake of her head and looks down at the scarred surface of the table. She does not say anything, but she doesn't need to. It is clear what this means. The child could not come too. Perhaps in the end, she realized she was not up to the challenge of supporting both herself and the child. He understands too late that he should not have asked. Desperate to change the subject, he asks,
"Why don't you stay the night here, with us?"
"No," she rests her hand on his wrist. "I have a hotel." "Goodness," she says with unconvincing gaiety, "I do sound independent. I used to find the thought of hotels rather exciting, probably because we so rarely stayed in them. Unfortunately, it isn't that sort of hotel. Nonetheless, it will do. And do you know something? It transpires that hotel rooms are expensive, even the ones with algae green wallpaper and no soap. But I shan't be there long."
"Where will you go?"
"Paris," she smiles and shrugs. "Where else?"
Tom stiffens. He doesn't ask because he doesn't want to know the answer. But she watches him curiously, sensing that there is a question.
"What is it?"
"It's him, isn't it? The Frenchman. You're going to stay with him."
"Oh, no. I hadn't even thought. Besides, he doesn't live in Paris, not anymore. I want to go because when I think of anywhere I can imagine living or starting a new life, I think of Paris. It's been like that ever since I went there with Aunt Em as a teenager."
She tells him that there is a train, early in the morning, to take her to Southampton. Then she'll get herself passage on the first ferry she can.
"Can I visit you?"
She glances at him, and her expression is odd, even guilty.
"Perhaps one day."
"Or I could come with you."
"Yes," he thinks, and feels excitement quicken at the prospect.
"I could get a job, or sell my paintings, the bad ones, the only ones people seem to actually like. There wouldn't be much, but we wouldn't need..."
He trails off. She is shaking her head, and her eyes have filled with tears.
"I came to say goodbye, Tom. It has to be like this.
Do you understand?
And he understands that he has lost her. The story that started all those years ago in Wynard Cove has finally come to an end.